Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Casa Connection podcast, where we talk about issues and things that are going on within the world of foster care. I am Jeff Warren, and I'm here with our executive director at Casa of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties, Tracy Heisler. How are you doing, Tracy?
I am great, Jeff Warren. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Didn't I introduce myself?
You did.
Okay.
I'm just reinforcing. This is the inestimable Jeff Warren here with us today.
Thank you. Well, we do have a great podcast for your ears now, and it's regarding an issue that here at our CASA program we've been really engaging in, and we've been talking a lot and doing a lot of work here with regard to equity and how do we advocate for equity within the foster care world and just the world in general. I think, Tracy, that over the years the word equity has gotten a bad name, and I think it has also gotten a lot of positive momentum too in various components and aspects of the world. And I know we're doing good stuff here at CASA. I can only kind of speak for us, but I hate, you know, on our last podcast episode where we were talking about mental health during the holidays, we talked about just how people in the world need to, like, maybe stop looking at the news and what's going on in the news a lot, because unfortunately in the world of advocating for equity, it's gotten a little bit too politicized in my personal opinion. And I think we need to temper that a little bit. So I'd like to start off just with that, if that's okay.
No, absolutely. I agree with you, Jeff. And so I wanted to take a step back and talk about, if I may,
yeah,
my own evolution on this.
Okay, yeah, so let's do it.
I started as an advocate in 1999 in a pretty rural guardian ad litem program in Florida,
yeah,
on the panhandle. And I fully acknowledge and admit I came into this work with a view of I was going to rescue children,
yes,
from abusive parents.
You're going to save their lives.
Save them, yep, and make them have this happier life and give them opportunities that they did not have.
Right.
And in part of that was that I had a fairly homogenous group of friends, of colleagues. All of us were largely middle-class white people.
Yeah.
And our lived experience did not reflect the lives of all of the children that we served. And as I moved back here to New Jersey, it's a more diverse community. We had different colleagues, I have different friends, and I started listening more to what other people had to say about their lived experience and recognize that I hadn't always done right by the kids that I served.
Okay.
Not because I actively harmed them or anything, but because I didn't take into account their cultural experience, the way that their families walk through life differently than mine.
It sounded like you had more of a greater understanding. You didn't have that understanding perhaps in previous years, but over time you were gaining that understanding.
Right. And I wasn't intentionally being biased or doing harm.
Right.
I just didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
And probably 10 years ago here in this CASA program, we took a harder pivot on making sure that we were more meaningfully engaged in recruiting advocates, staff, board members from diverse experiences, diverse racial, ethnic, geographic,
yeah,
identities,
yeah,
and not just homogenous people from one county,
yeah,
right, who were all friends. And having, for some time, we had a majority-minority board of trustees, which I think really helped our program to develop some of these innovations that we have here in things like concrete resources, trauma-informed care trainings, doing more community outreach on child abuse and neglect, things that we hadn't always been actively engaged in because not everybody recognized the need,
right,
for them.
Yeah.
So in my time here, I've really come to understand that equity is not everybody getting exactly the same thing.
Right.
Which many of us look at, well, we provided X, Y, and Z to X, Y, and Z children, but child X might have needed something different than child Y.
Right.
And equity is looking more across customizing what kids need to thrive.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes that boils down to a lens of looking from their racial identity. Sometimes it's from their economic identity. Sometimes it's looking at their mental health identity. And I think too often we simplify the idea of equity as somebody's playing the race card.
When yes. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh because you're absolutely correct. The fact that there is some belief, whether or not people actually say it, or that it is this thought process that we are all born the same, that is not the case.
Well,
I
can give you a lovely example of equity that I saw several years ago. So one of my children is on the autism spectrum and gets overwhelmed with sensory overload. Right?
This is one of your personal
one of
children,
my
not,
personal
not one
children.
Of your CASA yes. children or anything. One of your
one of my kids.
Yes.
So in fifth grade, I'd gone to parent-teacher conference and there was a couch at the back of the classroom. And I said, hey, why you got a couch at the back of the classroom? And she said, because sometimes we have kids who just need to get away from all of the sensory stuff and they need a place to sit by themselves. So a comfy couch. It's not a punishment. It's a voluntary, I need the comfy couch right now to be able to deal with their dysregulation.
Yeah.
And to me, that's equity.
Yeah.
So the kids who don't get dysregulated and don't need the comfy couch, it's not that they can't get there. They just don't need it.
Right.
But the kids who do can, and they know they can, and it helps them get through the day.
I have a question for you because we were initially talking about your journey with regard to understanding equity more, and it happened over time. But was there a light switch moment for you? Where you said to yourself, I am now understanding this a little bit more? Or was there a situation that kind of hit you where you said, oh, wow, I really need to start understanding what equity means and I'm seeing something that is not right here? Was that yeah. moment? What was that moment for you?
There was actually. It was on the Panhandle. I was working a case that had two brothers, same mom, different
yep.
dads.
Down in Florida, folks.
Down yep. in Florida, yep. And we couldn't split the boys up. They were so attached to one another. But there was no resource home that would take both of them. They were young African-American boys. They were like 8 and 9, 9 and 10, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So a family friend stepped up and said, I will keep them together, but I need help because I can't afford it. And at that time, there was no stipend for friends or relatives, actually,
okay.
for that matter, only yeah. unrelated resource homes. So the caseworker and I each took turns every week bringing groceries, laundry detergent, toothpaste, you know, things like that to try to maintain the placement until one of the dads was cleared and took both kids.
Yeah.
And the thing that really struck home for me was the lack of resources, the struggle, the profound economic struggle to keep these two kids together. And the kindness of this woman to step up and do it. She wasn't biologically related to them, but that was something in the African American culture that I didn't know about, that there's a real concerted effort to take care of the children.
Yeah.
And if one person can't, then somebody's auntie down the street will step in and help. And we were not providing any kind of supports. And to me, that represented a lack of equity,
yeah.
right, for families. And that was one of the things that got me thinking along this path of how do we create better equity. So if you've been listening to this show, you know you've met Amanda. Gillum, who's our newest director of diversity and inclusion. She came on in February of 2023.
She did a great podcast with us. Go back in the feed, folks. It's a few podcasts ago.
Yes.
Yes.
And one of the things that I love so much about Amanda is that she is not only passionate about this, but she's also evidentiary and data informed
yes.
about this. And she is bringing to our program a real clinical eye to how can we better serve all of the children and not just from our lived experience and lens, but to broaden our understanding about what others need to sit and listen to parents and to kids and to not poo-poo their wants and needs,
yeah.
but instead validate their experiences and work towards providing what they need.
I think it's interesting how when I read recently online Public Education Partners, I believe they're out of South Carolina, I was reading a post from them about how you can properly advocate for equity more and more. And the information aspect, I think, is really important. How do you get information? Like, how do you actually get credible and valuable information? Because I do get tired of people saying, oh, okay, it's just a political thing over here. And they have the agenda, it's political. And it's like, no, you can actually find reputable educators who have researched this. Like you mentioned, we are actually doing this here at our CASA program. We are doing it. It's taking some time, as it should, you know, because we want to have good data for the children that we are inevitably serving. But folks, it's important to get information about equity. If you really do want to learn more, I mean, you can go to TED Talks and you can simply type in the phrase education equity or equity in general. And you are going to come up with some individuals and some TED Talks that are going to help provide you a greater understanding. And I think it's really important that folks get information first and foremost if they want to start understanding more, Tracy.
Agreed. And I think the first step in that is recognizing, again, equity is not playing the race card.
Right.
There yeah. are kids who are LGBTQ+, mm-hmm. who are marginalized, kids with handicaps, kids with
white kids. I was just going to yeah. say white kids with special needs
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. As well as kids of color.
Yeah.
And if you are in this work, if your heart is in this work, I know that this is an issue that you care about. You may not be able to express what that means to you quite yet. I know I couldn't 15 or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But really, to me, at the end of the day, it boils down to kids getting a fair shake and getting what they need so they can thrive,
right.
irrespective of their background.
Yeah. I had a great conversation yesterday with a gentleman who was African-American. We were at an event together. And while we were on different sides of the spectrum with certain issues that are prevalent in our community, which was a little bizarre, we were on the opposite side of the spectrum on certain things. But at the end of our conversation, we came together and said, you know what? We better understand each other a little more. And I think conversation is so important. But I think there are folks, Tracy, that get scared of conversation, having these type of discussions. I'm glad we're able to do it here at our CASA program.
Yeah.
But how would you tell somebody listening to this if they want to talk to other folks about it? Because the conversation about this is so important. How do people have a conversation about this, an honest to God conversation about equity and how to really advocate for equity within our communities or our schools or our social places that we like to go? Like, how do people have that conversation in a way?
I think there's a couple of things. One is to be respectful and recognize that not everybody is going to have the same perspective.
Yeah.
But that there is validity in others' perspectives.
Yeah.
Two, I think, try to find where the common ground is, right? For those of us in all of our programs, our common ground should be the best interests of the children we serve. And what does that look like?
Yeah.
It might look different from one kid to another.
Right.
And the third thing I think is to recognize our own biases. It can be really easy when you've had what you've needed in life to not know what it's like to come up and not have what you needed.
Yes.
I was at a training earlier this week, and they did the exercise where the facilitator reads a series of questions and you move forward or move back depending on your answer. And I was at the back of the pack. and then his last instruction was, here's the imaginary line to success. Get here as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
And so I went running with my bum knee. And then my friend said, don't, on your bad knee. I was like, but I got to get to the success line. But I think for many of the kids and families that we serve, getting to the success line is it feels like an impossibility.
Yeah.
And equity is merely getting everyone to the level playing field so that they can get where they need to go.
Yeah. That's a great way to end our conversation here, folks. If you have any questions for us, reach out, info@casashaw.org. Tracy will see that email and respond to you. And if you'd like us to talk about any other subject matters here in the world of foster care, we'd love to hear from you. And thanks to all the CASA programs out there, all the individuals, all the CASA volunteers who are listening to the CASA Connection podcast. Please feel free to share this podcast with other individuals in your network. We'd love to have more ears listening to us as we're talking about these important issues. Tracy, do you have anything else before we head out?
No, just to say thank you for everything that you guys are doing on behalf of children. You're part of my tribe, and I'm grateful to you. Thank you.
Yes, we do. Thank you so very much. And with that being said, we hope you enjoy this CASA Connection podcast, and keep sticking around. We've got some great discussions coming your way. Take care, folks.
Bye, everyone.